of the Word, say I did. How many came today to be touched of the Lord, say I did. Amen, amen. He's in this house, he's in this place today. He's going to minister to us today, and so let's begin today as we get started. You got your Bible with us, let's make our confession today. Everybody say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. And I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. And I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hey, one more time. Hallelujah. Come on, I want you to maintain that tenor of praise throughout the whole service today. Because believe me, the more you let what's on the inside of you come out, the greater you're going to receive a touch from God today. Amen. What's on the inside, let it out. Somebody say, I got fire on the inside. Amen. I got all kind of places I can go today. And where do I need to begin? Where do I need to go today? Look in John chapter 15 to begin. John chapter 15. Now, let me say something to you today. I'm going to share something with you today, and I want to have a foundation for what I'm sharing with you to let you know something before we even begin today. And that basically is, without Jesus, you and I can do nothing. Somebody say amen. So everything I'm going to tell you today, let it be launching forth from this scripture in John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is a husbandman. Every branch of me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You are clean through the word which I have spoken in you, and abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Everything I'm going to say to you on the next 2.5 hours, let it be bathed in that scripture. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Because I'm going to flip the coin here a little bit, start talking about some stuff, but don't you ever forget about that foundational scripture. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Everybody say, without Jesus, I can do nothing. South Carolina says, I can't do a thing without Jesus here in South Carolina. Can't do anything without Jesus. Now, while you're there at John chapter 15, turn back over to John chapter 14, and let's turn over the other side of that coin. John 14 and verse 12, Jesus said, look at verse 11. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. There's that connection. I'm in the Father's in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12 of John chapter 14. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How many know it is possible for the believer to do greater works? Somebody say amen. Right now we're still hooked to, without me, you can do nothing. Okay? So let's keep our humility and our understanding in the right place, but don't do away with the boldness that you ought to have in Christ Jesus. Because he just told us right here that we can do greater works. Now look at verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father, or what shall I ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. When you do something, when you do a greater work, when you allow God to use you and minister through you, it's not to bring glory to you, but it brings glory to the Father and glory to the Son. Somebody say amen. And so it's great. It's great to see you be strong and do exploits, as the Bible says in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Everybody say strong. Those people that know their God, be strong. We need a church that stands up and becomes strong in the Lord. Amen. And then he said, verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Again, this is all bathed, and I'm talking about this morning, for the believer, for the child of God that's connected, as the vine and the branch are connected. And we know without him, we can't do anything. We understand that. We know that our power is not of ourselves, but our power is through the name of Jesus Christ. We know that we can do the greater works. We know we can do the things that he said. We know that when we do, it brings glory to the Father and the Son and not to us. We know in verse 15 that all of this is recognized that we're keeping his commandments. We're not in a life of style of sin and ungodliness and wickedness and righteousness. No, we have become the righteousness of God and we're honoring what he says. And thereby, because of this, we are at a special place with God. Somebody say, I am at a special place with God Almighty. I'm at a special place. In the world, you might say it like this. I know the man. I know the man. We can get this done. Why? Because I know the man. I know the man. Now, turn with me to 1 John. Go toward the book of Revelation, back up to 1 John. All this is not even in my outline. I prepared this outline last night. I had three or four things ready to go. But the Lord gave me this in about 7 minutes. Last night, at about 15 minutes until 11. And in prayer and study all day. And then into the night, as I was praying and studying, this just, I got my yellow pad out, and I wrote down these 7 or 8 verses of scriptures that the Lord gave me. And that's the gist of what I'm going to share with you today. I couldn't stand it, so I had to put it in, type into my computer, make a PDF out of it. But anyway, that's really what happened. But I did not research it as I want to do in the Hebrew and the Greek and so many words that I normally like to do with everything that I share, but it is so alive to me, I must share it with you today. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Notice that we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the sons of God. What you want somebody to call you? Call me. If you're a man, call me a son of God. If you're a woman, call me a daughter of God. And before you're going to get somebody else to call you that, you need to start calling you that. Notice, call the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not. The world's not going to recognize that, but you've got to recognize it. Problem is, a lot of the church has got their mind in the world, and they don't recognize it. And we don't know who we are or what we can do in Christ Jesus. And some that know who they are and what they can do in Christ Jesus are too afraid to do it. I've just diagnosed the spiritual condition of the church. Some don't know who they are or what they can do in Christ Jesus. And there are a second group that knows who they are and knows what they can do, but they're too fearful to do it. Oh, Lord. And as long as that fear captivates people and holds them back, you're not witnessing somebody. You're not telling somebody about the love of God. You're not going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You're not going to believe God for financial increase in your life. You're not going to believe God for the best marriage in the world. You're not going to do any of those things. You're afraid. You're fearful. Those kind of things. And so you got to know who you are, know what God can do in you, and then step out away from fear and into faith and begin to doing the things that God says you can do. Now, knowing who you are here says you're a child of God. Somebody say, I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. I had a real good friend that I know over the years who was a barber. He was a wonderful Christian man. I don't want to say anything against his character or his personality or the way that he lived his life before the Lord. He was a very good man. He was a very, very good man. But he was constantly running around saying, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. We're all just a bunch of sinners. And just for him to say the word that he was a saint of God would never have come out of his mouth, even until the time that he went home to glory to meet. Now, how sad that is for you to know who you are and won't say it. How sad that is for the scripture to decree and declare who we are, and yet we won't say it. I mean, it's just amazing in the body of Christ how fearful some of us are. Well, today I come to dispel that fear, to cast it away from us, and get you and I to walk, to talk, and to live boldly in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, amen. Say it with boldness. Say, amen. Say it, Church of God. Say, amen, brother. Yes, amen. Glory. Somebody say, glory. Somebody go, woo. Don't be ashamed. Let it out. I mean, everybody thinks you're crazy anyway. Go ahead and be crazy. If that's what they think, hey, man, you ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, you got lots of people. People ask, say, you know, where you go to church? It's like, why you want to know for it? But anyway, People out to get you, but they out to get you anyway. They better get us because we're about to get them. All right. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Everybody say now. Don't continue on with this kind of thinking that one day when I finally make it into glory, oh God, it's going to be so wonderful over there. Won't it be wonderful over there? Oh, won't it be wonderful over there? I heard a lot of people sing that song over the years. Won't it be wonderful over there? Oh, God, it's going to be a great day over there. It's going to be peace, love, and joy over there. I'm going to have a mansion over there. Oh, I'll be healed and I'll be well over there. Now, let me tell you something. Over there does promise us every one of those things. I'm not making light of any of those things. Every one of those things, absolutely over there. If you make it over there, it's going to be a good life. Somebody say amen. But, what you waiting for over there for? Why are you waiting for over there? I was talking to Sheila the other day about doing something. She said, well, why you keep talking? You got the money, do it. If you got the money, do it. Somebody say, if you got the money, do it. Do it. I mean, kid, not one day we'll do it. We'll do better off. Well, what you keep talking about? Go ahead and do it. How come some of us hear all about this wonderful life as a child of God and a Christian, and we read the Bible of wonderful men and women of God who God used, and how great, how grand, how glorious, but poor old me. Poor old. If only those things could be me. But we know that they're never going to be us. I don't want to say something to be proud or boastful. Oh, Lord, no. That's our language. And away with that kind of language. Amen. Somebody say, I am a child of God. Right here, that you're a son and you're a daughter of God. I am a child of God. And what did he say in verse 2? Now. Right now. Say that South Carolina style. Right now. Right now I'm a child of God. Right now. I met some folks one day and they believed you had to be baptized, be saved, and all kinds of stuff. They said, well, we just don't know. I said, you guys know you're saved? You have assurance of your salvation? Well, none of us will really know until we get over there. And I said, well, I know I'm saved right now. And if you'll trust Jesus and believe on his word, you know you can be saved right now. Don't matter what Joseph Smith told you, you know right now. Amen? Amen. Now then, everybody say, I'm ready. All right, with that basis, with that preface that we're at, turn back to Job chapter 22 and verse 28. Job 22 and verse 28. Job 22, verse 28, the book of Job. 22 and 28. Job has some fellows that talk to him. Sometimes they give him good advice, sometimes they give him bad. So you got to really sift it through what's good or what's the rest of the word, you know. But here's something that he did say that was good to him. He said this to Job. You've been talking about your dreams and how they scare you and how God's out to get you and take everything you got and all this kind of stuff. You've been saying, oh, the Lord, give it, and the Lord, take it away, and all this kind of stuff. AJ mentioned today it was a thief that come to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. But Job didn't have that John chapter 10, verse 10 in that day. He didn't even have any Bible in that day. Don't be so hard on Job. He didn't have the revelation, the knowledge that we have available to us today. Be hard on you and me if we still talking that way, because we got the revelation. But Job chapter 22, verse 28, he says to Job, you shall decree a thing. What's a decree? Make a declaration. You shall decree a thing. Put out a royal decree. When the king, the president, the ruler, the leader puts out his royal decree, that thing is done. It is a done deal. And you and I, according to the book of Job, says you can decree a thing. Okay? And it shall be established unto you. You can decree it. And it be established unto you. Now, a lot of people decreeing the wrong stuff for themselves. But Job, you need to start decreeing the right thing for yourself. Because when you decree a thing, it becomes established in your life. Make a declaration. You and I need to begin making declarations over our lives. Make a declaration over your home. I have the best of marriages. Not with an S, marriage, I guess. Shouldn't say best of marriages. I only got one, but we know it. Woo, Lord help me. But anyway, I have a best marriage. I decree that. Wake up in the morning, I'm in love with my wife. I decree that. Why don't you do that? When you getting up? No.
I guess I better go tell the old lady I'm leaving the house.
Old lady leaving the house? Don't decree that. You can have your youth renewed. Amen? Mind it with the wings of the flying, soaring. Somebody say, how you doing? I'm soaring. I'm flying. You're going high. I'm already higher than you'll ever get on anything you ever got. Everybody say, I'm high today. Decree that I'm high. I'm high. It ain't on what the world's high on. It's drunk, all right, Peter said on the day of Pentecost, but not drunk as you suppose. That's the difference. Now, don't get drunk as they suppose. You've got a problem there. But you decree a thing and be established. So start decreeing things in your life. Remember who you are? You're hooked to the branch. You're the vine branch. Remember who you are? You're praying in the name of Jesus. You just read it. Remember who you are? You're a son. You're a daughter of God. Remember who you are? Decree a thing. Decree it. Speak it. Say it. Put out the royal decree. Now, hold on to this right here because you say it about you. Everybody, hold on. Stay with me. But I'm going to put out the Leon decree. Because he said, you shall decree it. Is that right? Is that what he said? You shall decree a thing. That would have been the Job decree. I got the Leon decree. Todd's got the Todd decree. Shirley's got the Shirley decree. Somebody say, I got the me decree. You're the one to do the... I'm waiting on God to decree. No. No. You shall decree a thing. You say it. Say, self. Say it. You say it. Start saying about yourself. Start talking about yourself. Start decreeing about yourself. You say the thing. You speak it out there. Get it out. Amen? What you want? Decree it. Now, again, don't go haywire with all this. I know what I'm going to decree. He said you can decree a thing. I'm decreeing, you know, that all my needs are supplied. Go ahead. That's good. I decree all my needs are supplied. I decree that I got the best of marriage. I just decree health and wholeness in my body. I decree my hair ain't never going to turn gray. Now, hold on right there. You can only decree what the Bible says you can decree. Other than that, you can buy something to help you along. But anyway, woo! Somebody go, woo! Absolutely. Decree a thing. Decree a thing. Oh, Lord, I could say some stuff. I don't need to say it. Oh, Lord. Thank God in America that we have our home, our domicile, our private abode. I don't want nobody looking through my medicine cabinet. No. Only thing I got left in my medicine cabinet, I got one time when I had a kidney stone 1990 years ago, my dad drove all the way to Greenwood. At that time, you could. But drove all the way to Greenwood to have the pharmacy filled to get morphine pills. You can't get them now. They're illegal. But boy, they do the job. And he brought me home about 8 morphine pills. And knocked out. You wouldn't dream you had a kidney stone. You wouldn't dream you had nothing. And for safety purposes and lack of faith, I kept one of them in that bottle. So if you ever go home and you go upstairs, now upstairs bath, and you open that right door right there, that's where beside the mirror, and you open that door beside the mirror, and you get that bottle and you see one little bitty thing in there and it rattles like that, don't you take that thing. If you take it, you won't be able to get downstairs again. Whoa, Lord. But thank God you can only decree what the Bible tells you can decree. Don't go haywire and nuts. I decree me 15 wives. No. 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 Wives say no. No. No, you can't do that. You can't decree something the Bible has. And again, remember, you're connecting to the vine, the branch connected to the vine, connected to Jesus. And Jesus is not going to tell you to do something or impress you to do something that's not in the Father's will and in His will for your life. He's not going to do it. And so you shelter yourself and you protect yourself with the Word of God. So when you decree a thing, it becomes established in your life. Let's go. And I'm going to have to pick up speed here. Go with me to Joshua chapter 10. What I want to do is shake and rattle. Started to say roll, but I won't. Shake and rattle your faith this morning. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Joshua is out, and they're having a battle against the Amorites. And there's a quote that's in there. It comes from the book of Jasher, which is not part of our Old Testament. Notice, it does not say, there was no day like it in which God commanded Joshua to do this. What it says is that here, there was no day like it before it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Some of us walking around in life and things happen, and we act like you can't do anything about it. Somebody say, I bind that in Jesus' name. You just said you bound it in Jesus' name. But Jesus is the one that does the binding. Through the power of the spoken word that you spoke with faith in him, by the power of his name, God does it. And so it's not like you got to wait on God to come down all the time and take care of every situation. Remember now, you're a child of God. You're a son of the Almighty God. You're a daughter of the Almighty God. Everybody say, I am. I am. I am. And based on that, Joshua said, we need a little more daylight here to mop things up. Let's just do it. Sun, you'll just have to stand still. Moon, you'll just have to stay right where you're at too. And he wiped things up. Now, that's an extraordinary amount of faith. I'm showing it as an example, but he had it and he did it. And I believe there's times in our lives when God can use you with an extraordinary amount of faith. And you've got it and you can do it. And why don't you start speaking to every obstacle and every problem in your life and commanding it to stay still, to back up, to get out, to move on, whatever you need for it to do. I don't know if I can do that or not. Hold on, that's what I'm trying to let you see. That you're going to be able to do that. Yeah. The Bible tells us it. Amazing thing what God has done for man that he would hear the voice of Joshua. Is that what he said? Am I making this up? Verse 14, the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. That's Old Testament, O King James, when we say hearkened, it means to listen with the intent to obey. That's what hearken means. Listen with the intent to obey. And so God listened with the intent to obey the voice of the man. Is that right? Somebody say amen if it is. If I'm making this up, set up, throw a rock at me. But that's exactly what it says. You say, well, you know, that's just one little thing right there, Pat. Look at Isaiah 45. Look with me, Isaiah 45, verse 11. Turn with me, or tap with me, or touch with me. Isaiah 45, click with me. Change our language around the church. They're more you touching and tapping and clicking than they are turning. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Look down where it says, verse 11. Let's be careful. That's what it sounds like when people flip the page. We're getting there just the same, all right? Isaiah 45, verse 11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. This is God talking. And his maker asked me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command you. Is that what God said? And that's what Joshua did. Who made the sun, the moon, and the stars? God. And what did Joshua do? He said, son, you stay still. Moon, don't you be moving. We're going to mop up our enemy, the Amorites. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we can say the same thing in our time of need and our situations in our life. You don't have to continually walk into a life of struggle, a life of defeat, but a life that is overcoming. Let me show you something. Look at 1 Kings. Show you something. Everybody say authority. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read a little bit more in there, but I just wanted to show you what was happening here for the sake of time. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, but just look at verse 1. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, notice this, before whom I stand. How many stands in the presence of God? The Lord God of Israel before whom I stand. We're to watch out when somebody's standing in the presence of God. Elijah said, Ahab, I know you the king, all right. I know you got that wild wife named Jezebel to kill us all. I understand that. No, every bit of it, but listen, I'm not standing in Ahab's presence, nor your wife Jezebel's presence. I'm standing in the presence of Almighty God. That makes a difference. Somebody say amen. That makes a difference. I'm standing in God's presence. You understand what's going on? I'm standing in God's presence. What Elijah saying? Look what a man who stands in God's presence does. He says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, by whom I stand, there shall not be dew, nor rain. There won't be no rain, not even any dew. How many knows you can have dew lots of times when you don't have rain? Elijah said, we ain't going to have none of it. No dew, no rain. These years, it turned out to be 3.5 years. But, everybody keep watching me now, but according to God's word, what'd he say? Whose word? You mean Elijah, a man, said, I'm going to stop it from raining 3.5 years according to what I say? That's what he said, isn't it? Somebody go, whoo, oh Lord, have mercy. What have these fellows tapped into? They have got a relationship before God that few people today understand. I mean, instead of crying and begging and screaming before God, won't you do something? Help us, Lord, help us. Instead of doing that, they're acting like they're God's children. They're acting like they have authority and power with God in the earth. They actually believe that what they say is going to happen. Ain't nobody drinking no water either for the next 3.5 years. I mean, you know, let's get it somewhere else. It's not going to happen. I mean, God feeds Elijah. Right now he does that. He says, Elijah, we got to get you over to the brook because I got a place over here where you stay and where you eat. I got birds that are going to feed. I got ravens with your name on it. And the ravens riding around with Elijah's meal. All kind of stuff. Now, I want you to notice, though, what's the key? Key to the whole verse. Verse 1. Before whom I stand. Somebody say, God Almighty. One more time. God Almighty, before whom I stand. God Almighty, before whom I stand. Remember, hold all of this, connected to the vine. Ain't nothing without Jesus. Can't do anything without him. But at the same time, God Almighty, before whom I stand. Somebody say, we're going to take care of this thing. Yes, in the name of Jesus. We're going to take care of this. This will not stand. This will not last. I mean, you know, this is. We're going to get rid of this thing. Amen. Amen. I mean, we can believe the Scripture. Say what the Scripture, the Bible says. You know, what a weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Right? It does, and that's true. That's true. It really is. It is true. But I've learned to say over the years, weeping might endure for 5 minutes, and joy comes in the next 1 minute. I mean, you know, just believe God for it. I mean, there's tragedies, heartache, different things hurt different one of us. And we lose somebody that you love. Got some pain there. I understand that. I understand. But there's situations that happen in life that we just hang with it a lot longer than what we need to hang with it. And we should have been free of that thing a long time ago. Some people's morning ain't never got here yet. They're still on the same long day. All right? Look, go to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. That was Elijah. He's got a school of prophets that everybody's studying to be prophets, but he's got one guy that's real special. And this guy had declared and decreed, Elijah, I'm going to get what you got. I am going to get what you got. I'm going to get what you got. The words that rise up so large, every time I even make that statement, I think about Clifton Erickson, a man that I was able to meet and befriend and over the years and hear several times. He came to our church, but wonderful man of God. He was the man that when Lester Summerall went down into the Philippine Islands and while he was there, and Lester Summerall was wanting to build a church there as a missionary, And he had saw in the paper Carlita Lavata was a lady that was being bit like that. And she was in the hospital and nobody could help her. Lester Sumrall said he saw that in the paper and it moved his heart with compassion that this little girl should be tormented by these bites and they would find saliva on her, see nothing. They would find hairs on her and see nothing. And she would be tormented by these things. And Lester Sumrall read that in a paper for 3 days in a row. He said, God, 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 why don't you send somebody there to take care of that little girl? Second day, God, why don't you send somebody there to take care of that little girl? The third day, God, why don't you send somebody there to take care of that little girl? And finally, God said, well, why don't you go, Lester? Somebody say, why don't I do it? Turn to the neighbor and say, why don't you do it? Why don't I do it? Why don't you? Why don't we do it? And so Lester Sumrall went in there and prayed for the little girl. God delivered her and set her free of all that. It made all the major newspapers of that day and the radio stations that they had and the one TV station. So it did all of that back in the 50s. And when this happened, then the man that was running the Philippines, I don't know his particular name, but something like a governor of the Philippines or want to call him president. It was that kind of rank. But he said to Lester, we'll give you anything you want for what you've done. He said, here's what I want. He said, I want advertising, I want a television and recorder, and I want to have a revival in the city park. He said, okay. The man he called to come in to do the revival was Clifton Erickson. Clifton Erickson preached there for the next 30 days, and they started a church that ran into the thousands in the Philippines. It was a great revival that news of it spread all around the world. Clifton Erickson was a man that was mightily used of God. Clifton Erickson received what he received when back, and again, this is back in the 50s for Clifton, and early 50s, and he began to seek God for a greater anointing of God's power on his life. He went to an Oral Roberts meeting. Clifton had been preaching, but he had been doing very well at it. And I love the memory of Brother Clifton. Then everybody said it. David Nunn, James Dunn, several of the big folk told me personally, said Clifton was a wonderful man. We all loved him, but he couldn't preach his way out of a paper bag. And so Clifton, a stately gentleman, very dignified, always very proper, Clifton got into the healing line at an Oral Roberts meeting. And so he's in the line, walking his way up that where Oral is going to be. Or prays for somebody, the line moves forward, one person. Or prays for somebody, and Clifton finally gets up there to where Oral is at, and Oral says to Clifton, surprised that he's standing in front of him, he says, Clifton, what are you doing here? What in the world do you want? Clifton says these short, simple words, I want what you've got. I want what you've got. Oral prays for him. It changes his life and changes his ministry, and he begins to travel the United States and other countries and great ministry all over. Elisha is that same kind of person and that same kind of, he wants what Elijah has got. He saw Elijah have something, and he said, Elijah, I will follow you. I will never leave you. In the morning, I'm going to be there. At night, I'm going to be there. Wherever you go, I'm going to be there. If you go to the John, I'm going to be outside the door. But I'm going to still be around. Wherever you go, I'm not letting you out of my sight. And Elijah said, well, okay, if you do that and you see me when I go up, not only will you get what I've got, but you'll get a double portion of what I've got. Look it up in anybody's Bible. We have recorded 16 miracles by Elijah. Look it up. And we have by Elisha, the man with the double portion, recorded in Scripture 32 miracles. That's called double. Somebody say amen. It's that same Elisha. Not only does when he do things here that he's done, Elijah stopped the rains from coming for 3.5 years. Anybody got any idea when Elisha did the same thing, how long it didn't rain? 7 years. That's double 3.5. He had the double anointing that God had given him, and he saw it, and he said, I can do the same thing. I can do what you do, Elijah, if I just got what you got. The same thing. When I read these stories in the Bible and we see what these guys are doing, I hope that inspires and encourages each of us. You know what? Maybe, just maybe, I can do that same thing. Maybe I don't have to crawl anymore. Maybe I don't have to beg anymore. maybe I don't have to cry and scream and be perplexed and upset. Maybe I can stand up in the authority of Almighty God and make commands and decrees over my life situation and see things change. Somebody believes that, say amen. Amen. Maybe you can. I believe you can. In 2 Kings chapter 5, I want you to notice the power of these guys. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. There's a lot we can read, but verse 9, Naaman the leper comes down. He came with horses, with his chariot, and stood in the door of the house of Elisha. He's a real big guy in the army, and he's got people with him. And so he comes down to Elisha. He hears that Elisha brings healing to people, and he comes to the door. He don't come in his house. He comes out to the door. And verse 10, Elisha sends a message to him. He don't even go himself. He sends a messenger to Naaman at the door, and he says to him this. All he says is, we don't even know, you know what? We don't even know what Naaman told him. Didn't say anything. He just came to the door of his house and come up there. Remember, you're speaking to the prophet of God. Not playing church here. You're speaking to the man of God. You're speaking to the prophet. And so the prophet just simply says to him, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again unto you, and you shall be clean. Let me get there. 2 Kings 5. I didn't get there. 2 Kings 5. I want to show you this. There's a little bit more I want you to see. I didn't include it. 2 Kings 5. Naaman came with his horsemen, verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger to him, said, go and wash the Jordan 7 times, and flesh shall come again to thee, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry. He went away, and he said, behold, I thought surely he'd come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought he was going to come out here and pray for him. What did he say? Call on the name of the Lord his God. And are not these rivers that he talks about, rivers Abinar and far rivers of Damascus, aren't they better than that? I don't want to wash in them. Let me wash there. Not in this muddy Jordan. But his servant, verse 13, said to him, spake and said, Father, if the prophet had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then would he say to you, wash and be clean? And so then he went down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. He did what the man of God said, and his flesh came again into the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What did he do? He did what the man of God said. What did the man of God say? The man of God said, go down and wash. He said, wait a minute, I thought she was going to pray. Remember, this is the man of God. You don't have to tell the man of God everything for the man of God to say that God says. I mean, whenever we, you know, do things in life or in business or in government, and you have an ambassador, sure, the president gives instruction to the ambassador, but the ambassador can go and say certain things that they, you know, wasn't instructed to say by the president, but they can say them. Why? They represent the authority in the government that is behind them. And there's things in life, as long as you keep it in the realm of Scripture, aren't you? I heard Brother Copeland say this many years ago. And what he said was, when he's talking to God about that, he said, God, what if I say something I didn't hear you say particularly, and I just say this, and God said, don't be concerned about it. I can take care of anything you say. Again, don't go and say, well, I'm going to marry 5 women, get going drunk and all this stuff. No. Understand, it's everything within the Word, everything within God's understanding of his responsibility for you and your life, that kind of thing. And there's a power in you being able to say something. So why are we walking around and say, well, I wonder if it's God's will to heal me or not. I wonder if God wants to heal me. Well, yeah, there's all kinds of scripture about healing. And get into it and feel it's your heart. But why walk around saying, I wonder if it's God's will to heal me? Why don't you say, body, be healed in the name of Jesus. Who said, I do? Somebody say, I do. Now, if that's still rubbing against your religious brain, we're going to keep on going, all right? Because it was Elisha that said, go down there in the river. I've heard a lot of things like that over the years. People talk about different people pray for people over in the 40s and the 50s and pray for them, and, you know, they spit on everybody they pray. Well, they read in Scripture where Jesus made spit out of dirt and spittle and put it on the eyes and they got healed. And so this person would spit on them. You know, Jack Coe was known. I've seen him do it. Jack Coe was known for hitting people. I've seen Jack Coe stick his knee in a woman's back. I thought he broke it. Oh, Lord, he done broke it, I thought. Smith Wigglesworth was known for taking his fist and bam, right in the stone. You say, these people are crazy. If they ain't anointed, they really are. Don't you do nothing like that unless God tells you to do that. Yeah, let me tell you something. You know, if you spit on me, I better be healed. Amen? If I ain't, we're going to have some trouble around this place. Amen? Lord, I'll take the spit. You get me healed? Yeah, I'm going to take the spit. Go to Mark chapter 16. Fast as you can. Mark chapter 16. Touch it, tap it. Whatever you got to do. Touch it and tap it. Mark chapter 16, touching your Bible. Verse 6, these signs shall follow them that believe. How come other people are not doing some of this stuff? So we just saw these signs shall follow them that believe. Man stops the sun. Man tells us it won't rain no more. Tells Raymond to go dip in some dirty river. Job says, decree a thing, it's established to you. But signs follow believers. But you know what? How come more people aren't walking in the revelation of seeing signs in their life? Somebody say, I am. Notice, in my name they cast out devils. You don't whine and grind. Get the devil off me. The devil been on me all day long. Get him off. Get him off. I wish the devil would leave me alone. I wish the devil would have mercy. The devil's not going to have mercy on you. Just because you're crying upset, the devil don't care. He's having a party while you all crying and upset. Whoa, look at him cry. Look at him go. I mean, the devil, he's just happy about it. He don't care. He don't care. Yeah, but look at all the trouble I'm in. This thing hit, and this thing, then something else hit me. It all hit me at the same time. The devil don't care. He was part of it all hitting at the same time. He's happy. You want to make a decision in your life. You know what? I know life can hit you. I know it can bump you a time or two. But I don't want to cry and let the devil know it. I don't want to let the devil know. I mean, you know what? We in this life, and sometimes you get bruised a little bad, but don't let the devil have the satisfaction. Don't you? Stand tall. Stand tall. Stand up who you are in Christ Jesus. You'll see your life change. Amen? Amen. Mark 16. They take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Amen. So that it did. There it is. Now, you just hold on, but listen. Acts 2:43, fear came upon everybody. Many souls, many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Acts 4:30, by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders might be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Signs and wonders. Acts 5:12, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Acts 14:3, long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. This is a New Testament church normal. The normal New Testament church is a supernaturally empowered by God church. If we're not supernatural, you ain't normal. If we're not walking in the supernatural blessings of God, somebody say, wow, that people's weird. Them's the normal ones, according to the world now. Now, don't go out and be crazy, you know, drink strychnine and handling no rattlesnakes. But still, the thing is, we have signs and wonders that follow us. I don't want to have a sign follow me, make the world wonder, don't you? How'd you do that? Yeah, you wonder, don't you? Well, how'd he do that? Yeah. What happened? Wonder. Now then, look at Luke 1:18. I got it closed up here. Luke chapter 1, verse 18. Here's where I want you to be. Zacharias, his wife Elizabeth, are having a child. It's going to be John the Baptist. Problem is, they're both old. In their old age, they don't. It's hard for men to believe they're going to have a child. Humanly speaking, all of us can understand that. But what I want you to see is the person that talks to him and what he says. Luke 1:18, and Zacharias said to the angel, oh, Lord, he's talking to angels. Zacharias said to the angel, whereby shall I know this? for I'm an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. What if you change that? Where are you going, Zechariah? I'm going home to see the old lady. No? I'm going home to see the well stricken in years. Stay away from both of those. But anyway, in the natural, he's an old man, his wife is well stricken in years. Gabriel answers him. Gabriel is an angel of God. He is a mighty angel of God. We believe him to be an archangel of God, which is a chief angel of God. And Gabriel don't take it lightly when you question him. Now, it's not saying you can't ask God if you got a question and talk with him and just love on God and, oh, Lord, help me through. It's not saying any of those things. But when you question the authority and the word of God that's come forth, you're going to raise a fence in the realm of the Spirit. And here's what Gabriel says. I just told you that you and your wife are going to have a baby, and you say you're too old. That's what they're saying. I told you y'all going to have a child. He's going to be the forerunner of Christ Jesus. His name is going to be John. I told you all that, and then you're still saying to me, I'm too old. Okay? My wife is too old. I'm too old. He might be hinting. I heard what Abraham did when he married that young woman. But anyway, no. He's still saying that to him. Still talking to him. Look what angel said. Look what Gabriel says. And the angel answering and said to him, I am Gabriel. Let that sink in. My name is Gabriel. You don't know who you're talking to. I am Gabriel. You don't have a clue what you just tried to resist. You don't even know what's going on. I am Gabriel. Notice what he says. That stands in the presence of God. Second time we've seen that this morning as I've been talking about it. I stand in the presence of God. Let me tell you something. Everything I've been talking about this morning, you ain't going to get none of it standing in the presence of the world. You want to live like the devil, you get what the devil's got. That's what you get. But you want to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord of hosts. God says, then I'll receive. Okay? And so he says, I'm Gabriel. I mean, that's enough to make you wilt when he says that. It will shrink you. What? I am Gabriel. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I'm sent to speak to you and to show you this good news. Woo! Somebody go, woo! I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence. That is somebody who knows. Nobody didn't come across me and say, well, that angel got high and mighty. That angel's full of pride. That angel, look how he's talking. No, he knows who he is. He knows who he is. When I meet up with the young fellow here, Gabriel, whatever he says, yes, sir. I ain't going to question him. No. Because you know the rest of the story. What happened? Zacharias, because you doubt, you ain't talking none till this boy has come to be born. In fact, Zacharias, you have said enough already. I'm shutting your mouth until your son is born. You have said enough already. Somebody say, you said enough already. That's what he told her. Well, who can say that? Gabriel can. Gabriel, you've said enough already, boy. This thing is off. And when he did that, he didn't question him no more. What happened was when his son born, they gave him a tablet and said, what's his name going to be? We name after you, Zacharias? He said, uh-uh, his name's John. Why? Because that's what Gabriel said. We're going to name him what Gabriel said. Lord, he didn't learn his lesson. Woo! And his mouth popped open. They said, his name's John. They come out. Woo! John. Woo! He learned his lesson, didn't he? My goodness. Some of us need to learn our lesson with God. You don't want to be in the presence of God and face these guys in the authority of God. I mean, God's got it. He can do it. Go with me real quickly to Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. I'm finishing in a hurry. Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. The preacher says that it's at least 2 hours longer. Acts 19. Acts 19. And then notice this. Verse 13. Certain are the vagabond Jews, these roving Jews exorcists. They out there, we cast out devils high and wide. We got our casting out devils wagon out here, and we got this elixir we're going to sell. Anyway, Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying,
We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. Make sure that if you ever want to deal with somebody that's devil-possessed, make sure you got more God than they got devil. If you don't, you're in a heap of trouble. Them devils will tear you up. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached about. And you could say the same thing here. No disrespect. I love these folks. I heard Brother Hagin say that I've got this authority, so I adjure you by Jesus and Brother Hagin. You just need to leave Brother Hagin's name out of it. Now, thank God for everything they taught us. You understand that. But you need to leave his name out of it. Jesus is the one in authority. But that being said, I adjure you, notice, by Jesus and Paul. Now, look what the devil say. Verse 14. There were seven sons of one Sceva and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Everybody say, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Oh, Lord. I don't know who I'd rather face. Gabriel making me go blind. All these devils about to jump on me. Who are you? You want to know the problem today in the church? The devils don't know who you are. Oh, you don't know who you are. They know Jesus, and they know the man Paul. The devils are saying, hey, you send Jesus around, we'll do what you say. You send Paul around, we'll do what you say. We don't know you. How many's got some boldness in your heart and life? My name is Leon Bible. Now you know me, devil. My name is Todd Dakers. Devil, now you know me. My name is Shirley Nance. Devil, now you know me. You need to introduce yourself to the devil. Amen? And when you do, it's the bout of the century of your life, and you need to defeat him when you do. Introduce yourself to him and go into that spiritual warfare where you have whipped him out of your own life so that you can whip him out of other people's lives. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, my name. Say what your name is. My name is Leon Bible. What are you talking about, devil? What you messing with me for? My name is Leon Bible. Now, I know my authority is in Jesus. I know my standing on the Word of God. I know God is my source. But, devil, you also know my name is Leon Bible. Woo, somebody say it again. Say my name. Your name, Leon Bible. Say it. So what's your name? Say it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to stand up. They know Paul. They know Jesus. But they didn't know them. And what we got right now on planet Earth is a church who's scared to tell what their name is. They're waiting for the sweet by and by for something to happen and not knowing that God has empowered them right now to do the things of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me get real finished right here if I can get this thing to flip over right here. Last thing. Let me give it to you. Now then, when we see this, we've looked at it several times. We've heard about standing in God's presence. We've heard about serving God. But what we have to understand is this. I remember so many years ago hearing a minister say this, and it was a man by the name of Leroy Jenkins, and I heard him say this when he was praying for somebody. And this is what he said. The God whom I serve will deliver you. Remember, we've looked at it two times already. I stand in his presence. I stand in his presence whom I serve. The God whom I serve. This ain't no game for worldly, carnal Christians. It's not about unbelievers. This is about people who know who they are in Christ Jesus. Not afraid to say it and move into the authority of God. Something happens. God whom I serve. He'll take care of it. Amen. Somebody said something the other day, and they were talking about different things I've had, and I'm going all into it, but I got like 18 acres of land, and out of 18 acres of land, every bit of it, just about every, and about four different parcels, every bit of it was just really just about gift to me. And they said, well, how'd that happen? And before I thought about it, I said, well, the Lord, his blessing, make it rich. That's all I come in my mouth. But basically, Lord, whom I serve. You don't get rich being a pastor. Not in Lawrence, South Carolina. No. There's other ways to get rich. I like it. Somebody say amen. The God whom I serve tells me that Jesus became poor that I might become rich. Amen. The God whom I serve will take care of it. Somebody say, what are we going to do? The God whom I serve. He'll take care of it. Scripture tells us, 2 Timothy 1:3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. So you're just not running around saying, oh, the God whom I serve is going to do this and that. No, the God whom I serve because I got a pure conscience. How you got a pure conscience? Because the Lord Jesus has washed you from all your sin and you're walking in his word. You're not living a life up one day, down the next, mad half the world, cussing people like, no, you're not living like that. You're walking with a pure conscience. Devil can't come to you and bring stuff inside your conscience. This business is you got to sin a little bit every day. If you sin a little bit every day, you ain't nothing but a sinner. Right? Add up every day and it makes a sinner. No, you don't have to live like that. You can be holy. You can be pure. You can be made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have power over every sin. The God whom I serve can deliver. Somebody say amen. And then I saw in Romans 1:9, for God is my witness whom I serve. With my spirit in the gospel of his son, without ceasing, I make mention of always my prayers. The God whom I serve, you're serving God when you pray. You don't have no prayer life, you better stay away from this. Them devils are going to tear your clothes off you and run you out of town. But if you're truly serving God, truly walking holy and righteous before God in his power, in his grace, in his mercy, you're serving him, then you've got every right to send him to the God whom I serve. Paul is on a ship. He's about to be... big storms coming against them. Paul already had a word of knowledge a few days before and told them we ought not to make this journey. They looked out at the sun. It looks mighty clear to us, Paul. Said, you're just a nut. You're a religious fanatic nut. Paul said, no, we ought not go. Said, well, we're going. They went and they lost everything they had. I mean, even the headstock on the front of the boat. I mean, just all kind of stuff lost. And Paul is praying and he's fasting. He's been seeking God. And while he's doing that, he says to them, when they're about to be wrecked and they think they're all going to die, Paul says this, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. There's that guy again. There's that angel again. There stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Somebody say, whose I am and whom I serve. Say it again. Say, whose I am and whom I serve. One more time, say, whose I am and whom I serve. That's who. There's an angel. He sent an angel. The God that I serve sent an angel to me. What happened to Peter when he's locked up? We've got guards on both sides, chained. The angel walked in, and he only wakes them up. Everybody stays asleep, and the chains fall off of him. Peter walks out. Paul was in jail. Same thing happened to him in Acts chapter 16. He's there, chains all around him. They're in there praying. At the midnight hour. No, stuff's happened at the midnight hour. Right? They're praying at the midnight hour. And while they're waiting to the midnight. But anyway, they're praying. And while they're praying, all of a sudden, their chains fall off them. The prison doors come unlocked. Paul, though, he says this. I ain't leaving. He said, let the people lock me up. Come down here and make me leave. That's what he said. He said, I'm not going out of this jail. Let the people that lock me up unjustly come down here and tell me I can leave. And they did too. They came down there and begged him to leave. Please leave. Please go. Please get out. He knew what he was. He knew who he was. You know what he was basing that on? He's basing that on, I'm a Roman. I got rights. I got citizenship. I'm a Roman. But how much more is you and I? I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. The God whom I serve, he's able. Amen? Glory to God. Woo, if he can live like that being a Roman, what can we do as a Christian? Amen. Somebody go, whoo, the God I serve. He said, fear not, Paul. You'll be brought before Caesar, and lo, God giving you everybody that sails with you. Somebody get in the car with you and say, we're going to make it on this trip? Say, as long as you're in the car with me, you will. Now, if you choose to open the door and get out, that's up to you. But you stay in this car with me, we're going to make it. Because the Lord said to go, and we're going, and we're going to get there. Amen. How's everything going to be? Is it going to all come out all right? Yeah. Somebody say, hang around me. You'll be all right. The God whom I serve and whose I am, he'll take care of us.
Amen.
Glory to God. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it will be as it was told to me. Whatever God said, that's what I believe. No wonder the scripture says, stand with me this morning. No wonder what the scripture says in the book of Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. It don't matter how big it looks, how bad it looks, how terrible it looks, how much of it is that's looking at us. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. But don't just stop there. Because I've seen some weapons. You have too. They've stood up. And it says this, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment. When that tongue comes up against you, you ain't going to make it. And that tongue comes up against you, you got it, you got it. You got it, and it's going to take you out. It's happening to you. You the one it's happening. This is you this time, buddy. And you going down. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Here's what it says. It don't say God will condemn it. You don't have that promise that God will. It doesn't say God's going to leave the portals of glory and come down here and condemn that thing to stop. Here's exactly what it says. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You condemn that thing. You stop. When Jesus got up and the waves were roaring and the sea was tossed and the storm was upon him, you know what Jesus first said when he got up? Well, how come y'all didn't do something about this? What'd you wake me up for? Why didn't y'all do this? It's amazing the authority that God's given the believer. And it says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Remember that humility side that's got to be there. Man, you can't do nothing without Jesus. And I will pray that constantly. I pray, Lord, I can't do anything without you. But I never say that phrase without saying this. Lord, I can't do anything without you. But I'm not without you. But I'm not without you. And with you, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Stretch your hands up toward the heaven. Let me tell you something. Wherever the devil has attacked you at, stop. I hope you got my message, but stop waiting for God sometime to come by and do something about it. Stop wondering if God's going to show up for you today, tomorrow, the next day. Why don't you go ahead and do something about it? Why don't you go ahead and speak a word of faith, as we've seen so many times. Because you serve God and because you are His, you have every right to speak things into your life. And so whatever's come against you in life, go ahead and cast it off in Jesus' name. Go ahead and be rid of it in Jesus' name. Let it go. If there's anybody in the service today, you don't know Jesus, hadn't accepted Lord and Savior, that's your very first step. That's the very first place you need to do is come to Jesus and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Then you can start walking in this victorious life I've been preaching about this morning. But that's your first step. That's the first place you got to be. First place you got to be. Anybody in the house of the Lord not yet received Jesus as Lord and Savior, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to do it. Let Him come into your heart. Let Him come into your life. And if you've done that, then walk in your authority that God's given. Let's pray this prayer to prayer. Everybody lift your hands toward Him. Say, Dear Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Wash away every sin and everything in my life that is not like Jesus. Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. I'll do what you say do, talk like you say talk, go where you say go, walk like you say walk. Lord, I'm yours. I'm sold out to you in the name of Jesus. And because of that, you are the Lord God, whose I am and whom I serve. And so in the name of Jesus, devil, you're on notice. You have nothing in my life. You have nothing in me. And in the name of Jesus, I resist you day and night. And therefore, you run in terror away from me because I'm in God. And in the name of Jesus, I speak blessing over my life. Say blessing over my life. Say this, I speak health over my body. Healing over my body. Say this, I speak wealth into my life. My needs are supplied. God is on my side. God is for me. Nobody can be against me. And in the name of Jesus, every tongue that rises against me. I condemn it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I want you to say your name. But say it like this. Say, devil, my name is Leon Bible. Say yours. One more time. Say it again. Say, devil, my name is Leon Bible. Say yours. One more time. Say, my name is Leon Bible. And I stand in the presence of God. And the God whose I am and whom I serve will take care of you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.